Can you feel the wind blowing? God has come into this place and the Holy Spirit is dancing on our heads, in our hearts, and beneath our feet. So prepare to dance, prepare to sing, prepare to pray and to worship God as we glorify God and enjoy God in this time and place. Today is a special day. There are many things happening. We have communion. We have a very talented guest soloist who will share with us. FD and Pat's granddaughter Olivia will sing later. And we have graduates that you have seen grow up from childhood and are now graduating from college and from high school and about to embark upon a new adventure as they walk out into this fall of new classes and new jobs. There are many things happening. This is a place alive and in wonder. This is a place that is on fire for Jesus. And we are going to celebrate that presence of the Holy Spirit today from the back to the front and the east to the west. Let us prepare our hearts as we read responsively in this psalm that Casey will lead us in doing.
Good morning. Today's psalm will be 104, 24 through 29, page 596 in your pew Bible. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you form to frolic here, there. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things.
When you hide their faces, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust.
This is the word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
We stand on our feet to confess because we show we are ready to take action. We lift our heads to confess because we know that Almighty God is quick to mercy and fast to pardon. Let us declare what we have been a part of this week and ask God's forgiveness. God of rushing wind and dancing flames, we confess that we have too often resisted the urgings of the Spirit and turned away from those who are different. You seek to enlarge our understanding and bridge our divides, but we cling to that which is comfortable and known. Forgive us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, personally and as the church, as on that first Pentecost. Embolden us to live transformed lives as disciples of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. We know that because we have approached God and God's heart is full of mercy and reconciliation, we are bound again together as family, as brothers and sisters in the life of the church. And with the pouring of this purifying water, with the promise that God makes to us in the covenant of baptism, I will be your God if you will be my people. We are washed clean and freed to live again. This affirmation of faith comes from the church, and we shall say it together. Let us read it slowly so that we can take in the words we believe. We affirm that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, the one who makes real in us what God has done for us. We believe that by the power of the same Spirit, the church can be set on its way again, new and enlivened. We are faithful to the reformers of the past when we hold ourselves open in the present to the reforming work of the Spirit. The Spirit brings us out of separation into fellowship. It calls us to make the unity of Christians visible to a divided world and assures us that we shall be one.
Glory be to the Father, and to
the peace of Christ is so great that we cannot contain it. We cannot hold secret this wonder of what has been done for, with, and through us. Let us share together the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. Hallelujah. Go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On this day of Pentecost, we wonder why a reading about the Tower of Babel, which scatters God's people, is paired with the uniting power of the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, the people who gather from all the lands speak their respective language, but everyone understands each other. There is not a universal language. There is universal understanding. This story might represent a caution against developing pride and rebellion against God. The people want to make a name for themselves. Or the story might stand as a critique of establishing an empire that enforces unity and conformity. Listen now for this word from the Lord and hear what God is saying. You'll find this in your pew Bible on page 10. It is Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is a word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. This Sunday we are celebrating graduation Sunday. I asked Annie and Maya if the places you'll go was too cliche to lift up, and they said no, so we went with it. But we made it a little bit our own and used some of the people that have supported our graduates to tell the story.
Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away.
You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You are on your own and you know what you know, and you are the guy who will decide where to go.
You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, "I don't choose to go there." With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street.
And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course you'll head straight out of town.
It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsy as you.
And then things start to happen. Don't worry. Don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go.
You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights.
You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest.
Expect when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly it's true. that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you.
You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch.
You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump.
And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done.
You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win?
And if you go in, should you turn left or right, or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite, but go around back and sneak in from behind. Simply it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind.
You can get so confused that you'll start into race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place.
For people just waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or the waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow, everyone is just waiting.
Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting, perhaps, for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting.
No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all the waiting and staying. You'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing.
With banner flip-flopping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of guy.
All the places you'll go, there is fun to be done. There are points to be scored, there are games to be won, and the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame, you'll be as famous can be, and the whole wide world watching you win on TV.
Except when we don't, because sometimes they won't, I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win, because you'll play against you.
All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot.
And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on.
But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the hawk-and-crocks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak.
On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are.
You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left.
And will you succeed? Yes, you will, indeed. 98 3/4% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains.
So, be your name Buxbaum, or Bixby, or Bray, or Mordecai, Allie, Van Allen, O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way.
So really quickly, just as a token of recognition for all your hard work, we'd like to call up our graduates, Taylor Benson. Maya Bogievich. And Annie Griggs. Oh, okay. Really quickly, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these graduates. We thank you for all those people in this church and throughout that have helped these graduates along the way as they move forward to a new and exciting step in their lives. Be with them and help to remind them that we're here with them, supporting them in heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Really, we don't have children's church, or we don't have a children's sermon today, but the children are preparing a surprise for the end of service out. So if you'd like to come join us regular for children's church, we invite you to come out there and join us. Thank you.
The gospel, according to Dr. Seuss, is sometimes hard to match, and that was a wonderful collection of all periods of many of the graduates' lives, many stages, many times of support, and the distinguished honor it has been to be a part of their lives, and I know you feel that too. The scripture that we will read today from Luke is a story that includes a question to Jesus. We know we are moving through the questions that people ask Jesus, things they wanted to know about what they can do in their lives, possibly to be more connected, or possibly what Jesus wants them to do, or possibly they're just searching for a sense of belonging. So in this story, we hear as Jesus responds what this particular lawyer is asking. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit in the middle, but it starts with chapter 10 in Luke, verses 25 through 27, and then I'm going to skip a little bit and move to the end. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And we know the story of the Good Samaritan, how there is a man who has fallen to the side of the road because he has been beaten and stripped of his clothes and left there half to die. And there are a number of people that walk by. And in our story today, the people that walk by the man on the side of the road, one of them is a pastor, a leader of the church. And they know that they're supposed to be there. Maybe it's Pentecost Sunday, and they drive on by while the man lays in the side of the road. And then another person comes by, and it's a seminary professor who's got to get those tests and exams graded because it's the end of the season. And he sees the man lying there but says, "My students are going to be calling me. I know they're waiting for their grades. I've got to hurry along." And then finally, there's another person that walks by. It's a person from a different part of town, maybe even a different part of the country. Might be one of those northerners, somebody from the Midwest, or it could be somebody from even further south of North Carolina, a lot more south. And they're walking by, and they see the person lying on the side of the road. Their heart is moved. They walk over to the person, and he's still breathing. They take some water out of their backpack, and they give him a sip of water. They take some cloths and wipe his wounds. And somehow, they get this broken man who's lying on the side of the road up on or into their truck. And they take him to the hospital. They take him to a place that he'll be cared for. And they say, "I'm leaving some money. I'll be back. And then I'll pay you whatever is necessary to help this man be well." And then Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus replied, "Go and do likewise." A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may all the words and meditations of my mouth and the mouths and hearts of everyone gathered be acceptable to you, you who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? This neighbor idea is where Jesus goes. But just in the beginning, I want to bring up just a piece of what this man asked. He said, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" That was his beginning question. How do I inherit eternal life? Some people realize that an inheritance is something that just falls into their bank account because they have had generous and wealthy forebearers. There's someone who has left them an inheritance or left them land or maybe left them a thriving company. Inheritance sometimes implies a gift. And isn't that what eternal life is? A gift. Eternal life is an inheritance from Almighty God for those of us who have understood and thrive to live in the light of our Lord Jesus every day. Inheritance, yes, but also a connectional inheritance, a covenantal inheritance, one in which God will be our God if we will be God's people. If we will be God's people implies there are actions we should take. There are beliefs in which we should be centered and our core hearts support. One of those really great questions that sums it all up that was written in 1646 in the Shorter Catechism of Westminster. Some of you learned it from your catechism class when you became a member of the church. What is the chief end of man? It's a really easy question. To glorify God and to enjoy God forever. How do I inherit eternal life? When does eternal life begin? If we believe in that shorter catechism answer, we are living that life today. We are glorifying God and enjoying God because God seeks to be in relationship with us, with those of us gathered here in this congregation, with those of us who are our neighbors, those of us who come from hither and far, and those of us who come from across the street, figuratively and literally, from around the world and from across the street, our neighborhood, where we live and thrive and have our being, because God lives and breathes and does miracles through us. I know we're not talking about foreign language necessarily, but I remember an experience when foreign language was a really big trick for me, a really big challenge, I should say, because I didn't have any tricks to pull off this foreign language. When we were living in Japan, and after the first year of our living there, we needed to get our visas updated for an extension of time to be able to stay longer. And I had been taking Japanese for a year already and thought I wanted to go to the immigration office and ask that question myself about extending my immigration status for another year. And so Mike helped me and my Japanese teacher helped me. And so I learned the question and I rode the train. I had it all memorized. I knew in my head when I got to the immigration office and when I met this woman sitting across the counter at the immigration office, the woman who was Japanese, and I stood and said to the very best of my ability, "Watashi wa Nihon wi noto." And then there was some more. "Watashi wa Nihon mimoto. Karaku hiyoshiyo. Taraun kasumai. Onegai shimasu." And I didn't have my eyes closed then, but I looked at her, and this woman is sitting across the counter with a blank expression on her face. And I did much better then than I just did now. And I tried the question again, a little slower. "Watashi wa Nihon minoto nagaku tazaisuyu hiyosho gu karimasu. Onegai shimasu." That's really a big please. "Onegai shimasu." I looked at her again because I said it right. She's staring at me like she has no idea what in the world I'm saying. All I knew was that question. So I said, "Arigato, thank you," and turned and walked away. I went home, told Mike what had happened, and I practiced some more. And he said, "Let me get somebody to go with you." "No, I want to do this myself. I have practiced it. I know what the line is. I'm going to go back in there tomorrow. I'm going to say it again, and she's going to give me an extension on my passport." So I went back, and I'm hoping maybe there might be a different person at the table. But no, the same woman was there. And I walked up to the counter, and I looked at her, and she looked at me. And she said, "Oh, I'm glad to see you. I was worried about you yesterday," in perfect English. So I asked her in perfect English if I could get an extension on my Japanese passport. And she said, "Yes." Who knows what that was about? Who knows? But when we are needing to say things to our friends and neighbors, maybe there's a foreign language. Maybe there's a language barrier and we can't exactly invite them to church in a way that we think will be inviting. But it's not really a foreign language when we speak the love of our heart, when we say we've got a great thing going on at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to come see what's happening in our church. Maybe we should practice some Spanish. That'd be a good idea. Learn a way to invite some people that don't speak English and see if they get caught up in the music and realize the joy that we share. Unfortunately, the church just lost one of those great people who have been able to invite others into church that have felt disinterested or rejected. Her name is Rachel Held Evans. She died suddenly just a couple of months ago of an infectious illness. She was 37 years old. But she's written lots of books, and it's amazing to know what kind of invitation that she offered. And one of my favorite authors, Nadia Bowles Weber, offered an explanation of what Rachel Held Evans had done for her. They together founded and held the Why Christian Conference in 2015. And Nadia Bowles Weber wrote, "Rachel pried open the door and then put her foot in the threshold and kept it open for other people." Elizabeth, who summarized Rachel's life as poignantly as possible, shared from her own experience, "I was once one of the outsiders, but a convert to Christianity, though, decades ago. I joined the church in part because I found the gospel included all sorts of oddballs and marginal characters. In fact, Jesus seemed to welcome them with particular warmth. But as the years rolled by, I began to realize that many churches, concerned with their own survival, are often more risk-averse than the local savings and loan, and often less friendly than the neighborhood bar. I know people who walked out of church in anger or grief, or because they never found the church relevant to their needs." I'm so glad that Elizabeth said relevant, and not the fact that they didn't find answers. Coming to church is not so much about finding answers as it is sharing questions. If we had all the answers, we wouldn't need to be here. But we need to ask questions. We need to support one another, even in the times of our doubts, and realize that's part of what that attorney was doing as he asked Jesus, "What do I need to do to inherit, to receive the gift of enjoying you and glorifying your name now and forever? What do we need to do as we open our hearts and as we set this table and as we proclaim that it is a table where all are welcome? It is a table where Jesus welcomes us for the feeding of the struggles of this daily life. And it is a table where Jesus dances with us with the Spirit on the days we celebrate our high school and college graduates. And it is a table that we will need to return to again and again, because we will lose sight of that goal. We will lose sight of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ because we get so distracted with all the successes and demands that are put on our lives. We're going to bring the elements into this table in a few minutes. We're going to dance them in with a spirit that is alive and well. We're going to break the bread and throw the cup into this congregation, this sanctuary, not in a way that is only quiet and solemn, but in a way that is joyful and enjoying the Holy Spirit of God that dances and lives in our midst. Amen.
when the waves rise against me and the wind tries to draw me away, I will stand upon the mountain, safe in your arms. I will sing, I will sing. Be still, my soul, be still. Be still, my soul, be still. Wait patiently upon.
Now is the time that we remember and seek to ask God's blessings and direction for those of us that have needs this week and those of us who have celebrations. It comes from, come on up, Alex. Alex is going to help me in just a minute as we get to the Lord's Prayer. We're going to pray, and that will be an illustration of what it was like on Pentecost. And if you don't understand, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. But right now, I do want us to understand and to pray in English. And one of the prayer concerns we have, we know that Dave and Gay List are not here because they are honoring and celebrating the life of Gay's brother, Lee Baumgartner, who we know and remember died a couple of months ago. And so that's where they are today. And we also want to surround the family of Willie Messick in our prayers and concerns as they are grieving and they are aware and realizing the loss of Willie's life. Also, we know Phyllis and Don Monteith are not here, but they are off at the beach celebrating a birthday. And Phyllis had her consultation with a surgeon this week, and she's preparing to have some surgery with a removal of a bit of a cancerous growth, and everything looks good, and she is in a really good place and not at all anxious. But we will also ask God's blessings upon Phyllis and her family as they celebrate the birthday of Susan. Other concerns or joys that you would like to bring? Yes, Linda. Kathy has a family member who's they're caught up in grief. Rachel's daughter, Kathy, has a family. Yes, please, Bonnie.
My aunt Gloria, that's on the prayer list, that has the colon cancer. Her surgery date is set for Wednesday. That is, if they don't have to cancel it because of high blood pressure, they can't get it down.
Bonnie's aunt is scheduled for surgery this Wednesday, and we hope that that can proceed as scheduled. Lindsay, please. Sydney.
It's okay. I actually have a girl at work that I get confused with one thing, Lindsay, all the time.
Sydney.
So I have two kind of different concerns. If everybody can keep these two people in your prayers. Nana's aunt, Peggy Huff, her husband just passed away recently. His funeral is today. And then we just found out that one of Tris's
Tell us. I think you might have all heard, as Sydney was explaining, some family members and dear friends and colleagues are suffering and with cancer and treatments. David. Okay, that's a big deal. Thank you. Heather's dad, name
William.
Yeah. Please, Jeannie.
Who is our neighbor? We have a very quiet ministry going on here at Cook's, and it's called the Laundry Ministry. And if you've ever had to go to the laundromat, it's a tedious chore. So we have begun, Morning Circle has begun collecting quarters. So we have had the second ministry at the laundromat. We dealt with a grandmama Friday. She had an unbelievably amount of laundry. And she said to me, I know you wonder why I have all this laundry. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've never seen so much laundry. And she said, I have a choice. I either feed my children and my grandchildren, or I do laundry.
Wow.
And so we paid for her laundry, and it was $24 wow. to do her laundry. Audrey and Sheila went back Friday night. They, too, had people there that they helped, and one was a woman who has two children. She has a relatively good job, but doesn't make enough to have housing. So she came for us to do her help her with her laundry. She lives in the car with her two little boys. So if you have quarters and they're just laying around, see one of us, and we will put them in our quarter box, and we will help others do their laundry.
Thank you, Jeannie. They're doing a laundry ministry, and if you have quarters or dollars,
oh, yeah, we take
Jeannie will take them, and Audrey as well, and Sheila. And Sheila. Other concerns or joys? Bev.
Aiden's therapist, Ashley, her husband has been deployed to Afghanistan for a year and a half. She is struggling with it. Keep them in prayer. We're safe.
Aiden's cousins.
Aiden's
therapist, cousin.
Her husband.
Aiden's therapist's husband has been deployed to Afghanistan for 18 months, and so we want to keep and hold him in prayer. Gordon. Nancy Stanley is going to have some surgery on about the 11th of July for some removal of her colon. We are in the presence of God, and Alex, I need you. We are going to pray, and I'm not going to name everyone as we have just been naming them all, and we have lifted those hearts before us. I will pray briefly about that, and then all of us, in whatever language is natural to you, please let us join in the Lord's Prayer when I invite that to happen. We stand, O God, in faith this day. We stand in trust of your love for us and realize that all these names, all these persons that have come to us through family or through laundromat encounters or through work or through whatever experience we have had with them, we have named them and we care deeply, and we especially ask your hand of love and comfort to be upon all of their hearts and bodies as they struggle with health, as they struggle with income, as they struggle with loss. We do know as well, O God, that today is a day of celebration. We are very high and excited about the lives of people who have come through this congregation and feel the love and support of this family, and that they will take the spirit of this love from today into their college experiences and out into the world when they become where they are working already and seek even further employment. Thank you for college students who are here today and who have taken a break from school, and may we always welcome everyone with open arms. Because it is with open arms and hearts, O God, that you lead us in prayer in the name of your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We receive our gifts and offerings, and then we stand and sing the doxology for the praise of them. And as we stand and sing, we will also be welcoming the parade and processional of the communion elements. And the children have actually been working on... Oh, yeah. Thanks. Go, Petey.
Sorry. I wanted to tell you about this morning's special offering. You may have seen these envelopes in the pews. The Presbyterian Church takes up 4 special offerings each year. We've already shared the one great hour of sharing back at Easter. This is the Pentecost offering. And this is really important to this church because 40% of this offering goes to our youth. I'll tell you what they will use it for. But if you grew up in church, then you know, and I know, for me, a foundation of faith that was established during my childhood and even through young adulthood has helped me to ensure lifelong faith and service. So when you give to this Pentecost offering, you're helping to provide opportunities for young people to grow and share in their faith in Christ. You can still take the envelope and give it to the people in the narthex, the ushers. Last year, 40% went to the Bible school shirts and supplies. This year, it will go towards food and lodging for the annual youth conference at Montreat entitled Let Love Lead. So please be generous because this is very important for our youth to have the foundation and know that they are loved and needed. Thank you.
Jennifer Thompson has an update from the stewardship and finance group.
Hi there. This one's real quick from the finance ministry. I think Bonnie Pace told you a couple of weeks ago that we had a very successful catch-up campaign where we raised $42,000, which is wonderful. Regular donations have not been affected, as in people didn't donate to regular because they were doing catch-up. That's good. The reality of it is we still don't bring in enough to cover all of our expenses, but the catch-up donation has given us a big cushion while we are still looking for a permanent minister and while we are trying to redefine and grow the church. And because of that, we are in a good position right now overall, even though we still need to find a permanent minister and grow the church. And that was pretty much it. I just wanted to let you know where we were.
The doxology. God of Pentecost, we give you thanks that you continue to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. May we follow the Spirit's leadership as we seek to discern your truth. Help us to rely on the Spirit's wisdom and strength so that we may faithfully choose the paths that Christ has called us to follow. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We know the choir had a beautiful piece of music to sing, but we're going to let that happen another Sunday because it's 11 o'clock. Well, okay. I think we'll save it because it's 11 and we still have communion. We'll save it. There are persons who are going to help me in languages that are a little bit different, German, and yeah, I think that unless you're serving communion, you please have a seat. If you're serving communion, stay here. Okay, I need Steve and Petey and Lucille. Yes, good. Hang on just a second. I'm going to give the invitation to the table, and then you follow me in English after they speak their German and everything else. The bread and the cup are set before us. Jesus issues us the invitation to come and to receive the bread of life and the cup of salvation. This table is for all who are hungry for the Spirit of the living God. And this sense of Pentecost today has been being illustrated by the children, and they want to bring up their poster that they've been making. They've worked hard on coloring the happy birthday to the church, and they're going to bring it and put it right in front of the pulpit so that it can stand right here or be in front of the church for us. Okay. I think I want it up here right in front of the pulpit. There's lots of processing that needs to happen today. Happy birthday, church, is all of their fabulous artwork. Lift it up and just, let's put it on the outside of this. There we go. Happy birthday, church. Perfect, perfect. We know that birthday parties for children and adults are full of chaos, and this is the flavor of today's worship, full of wonder, full of joy, and sometimes full of questions. But we have been invited to this table, and we will share in this sense of coming together in the words of German and French and Swahili. So hold your, go ahead now, and I will say the English and wait for the English. The Lord be with you. Okay, do your second. This line.
Heiliger, 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 Herr Gott der Kraft und Macht, Himmel und Erde sind voll von deiner Herrlichkeit. Hosanna in der Höhe, gesegnet ist, wer im Namen des Herrn kommt. Hosanna in der Höhe.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, O God, to give thanks and praise on the gift of this day, when the wonder of your Spirit fills our lives and calls us forward into the wonder of your love for us. Might this cup and bread be transformed from the regular and common use to that of the most holy and sacred symbolism of your life with us, your presence in the Holy Spirit, and your authorship of all that we say and do in the name of your Son. And we pray together saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. You can sit down. You can sit down. You can sit down. The words of invitation and institution have been given, and so Jesus takes the bread. And after he breaks it, he blesses it and says, This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner also, after they have supped, he took the cup. And after he has given thanks, he says, This cup is my blood that is shed for you, the covenant for the forgiveness of the sins of your life and for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show forth my life, my death, and resurrection until I come. As you are served the bread, there are also pieces of gluten-free cracker in the bag and the basket, so take whatever you need most and sit and hold it so that we can all eat together.
We are standing here.
Eat this in remembrance of him. We'll be served the cup now, and I ask for all to hold until you've been served, and we will drink together.
Thank you.
the cup of salvation that washes away the sins of the world, the cup of salvation that washes away the sins of each of ours. Drink this in remembrance of him. All glory and thanksgiving be unto you, O God, that we glorify forever and enjoy you today and tomorrow and Wednesday and in July and in September and all the way through the year. You are our Lord, and forever you reign, eternal, now and ever. In the grace and the love and the peace of your name we pray. Amen. For the party.
I thought she was giving the benediction.
She did.
No, just send them on
that. Go ahead. Keep going.
Why don't we go home?
Yeah.